Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Dawn Westmoreland of the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Today, I have a gentleman, Dr. Richard Knowles, and he is known as the Leadership Safety Sage, and we're going to talk about that. Now, he holds a PhD. He's not a doctor, but yet he has this outstanding career, and he's been helping management and people working on keeping chemical plants safe from the inside out by doing things right. So, welcome, Dr. Knowles. How are you doing today?
We're doing very well, Dawn. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's a pleasure to be with you today and to be on this program with you and talk about leadership, which is something I'm very fond of talking about and learning about.
Well, let's just jump right in. Why are you excited and passionate about it? Everyone has a great story, and I want to hear yours, and I know the audience wants to hear yours too.
Leadership is all about how we work together as people. Now, there are really a couple of forms of leadership. One to be positional. You know, you're assigned in to be the manager. But that's not what we'll be talking about today. I'll be talking about how is it that we engage people and build the credibility with the people so that they actually want to work together and help lead them into where they can be the best they can be. And we can get rid of all the dysfunctional behaviors in organizations, which are so destructive to both people and the business. So I have a big passion for that. And having studied this now for over 25 years, I've got some ideas, I think, that are pretty close to really what's going on and how we can shift things if we want to.
That's wonderful. And I've already interviewed your wife, who's Human Resources, which also stands for huge responsibility, according to Claire. Both of you work together. Let's talk about the work you do. I know you're doing great things because you're pretty popular, and I've met other people in our circles who know all about your work.
Well, we work with the people by just going into organizations when we're invited and beginning to have conversations with the people about what is it you really want to do? What's really going on here? Let's see if we can talk together and find out how you can begin to accomplish the things you really want to accomplish. And you can do it in a way where your people are pulling and helping to make it happen. And so we have these very deep but focused conversations with people. And when we do that, things begin to move.
How do they move?
Well, let's say we're working on safety and we start with a question with a group of people. What do you want your safety to be like? And most of them say they want everyone going home in one piece and all of that, mm-hmm. which is good. They also talk about wanting to be treated well. So we have both the physical and the psychological sides of safety. Claire talks about the coin. You have both the building and the personal side of the coins. And as people talk together, we begin to discover what they're doing. They begin to discover what they're doing. And together, they begin to co-create what it is they really want to do. And my role primarily is making sure that people are talking, that we're staying focused, we're staying on track. I ask them questions, but they are the ones who have the answers and know what they really want to do. And so we write that down as we go, and pretty soon we've developed a plan together, and they have co-created it. We like to do that with a cross-section of people in the organization, because everyone has a perspective and a viewpoint. The management people certainly do, the leaders do, but the people working in other parts of the organization have different perspectives, they have different insights. None of us see everything that's going on. Claire came up with a metaphor of a beach ball. I'm on the blue stripe and you're on the red stripe. I see some things you can't see and you see some things I can't see. We want to talk about this. And so we get both to have a better, more complete picture of what's going on. Not because of a different level or different power, but rather we need to look at what's going on so we can see the whole. When we see the whole and the parts and how they interact, then we begin to be able to shift to much higher levels of performance. And in these conversations, an enormous amount of energy and creativity is begin to bubble up from among the people. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to watch, and it always happens. We start with an important question. We talk together in a focused conversation using the process Enneagram, which I created. And in doing that, we can bring the business and the people sides together. And so one of the books I wrote is Partnering for Safety and Business Excellence. We have to partner together, all of us in there trying to make the place better, having a place where people can be safe and go home safely, but also a place where it's okay to talk about things. It's okay to share information. It's not okay to pick on each other. It's not okay to bully people. And so that's what we do. And one of the key pieces is that the managers and the leaders have to be willing to get up out of their offices and go into their organization and engage with the people and talk together, really talk together, not just walk by and give a big smile, how are you?
Right.
But get to sit out with them in their offices or their workplaces with a cup of coffee and begin to talk about things. And sometimes the conversations get kind of rugged because you may get into areas where there's some strong feelings. That's okay. As long as we maintain a personal respect and trust, we can talk about things which are difficult. And then we learn together. And it's about learning together in these conversations that makes such a huge, huge difference. I think fundamentally that's how organizations change. We share information abundantly. We've created an environment where it's okay for everybody to talk to everybody else, regardless of stovepipe or level. We can begin to learn and share together. And as we do that, we begin to see strands forming of directions in which we might want to go. We begin to see patterns and how things are operating. And in the course of that, new ideas begin to bubble up and emerge, things that none of us had thought about before. Mm-hmm. And these get stronger and stronger, and people can then begin to move into action. And that's how organizations shift. It's a deep level. It's not coming in with a club. It's not coming in with, well, here's the program of the month. It's coming in saying, you know, what is it you really want to do? Now let's talk about it. And let's do it in a way where we can respect differences, where we cut out harassment, we cut out bullying. We cut out these kind of things that block information. Information needs to flow in organizations. And if anything these dysfunctional behaviors do is they cut down the flow of information. Because if I'm picking on you, Dawn, you're going to get quiet. You're going to pull back. Or you might get really mad and blow up, and then we have a great big storm. Whatever happens, information flows get messed up. Energy gets messed up. The business does not come anywhere close to achieving what they can achieve. Yeah. And the people are all diminished. So if we can work out the people things and get them working well, we can connect that to the business. And then the business is going to function well. And amazing things can happen. For example, when I was the plant manager at a big plant in West Virginia, we had about 1,200 people. We handled the second highest number of hazardous materials in DuPont. It was a very old plant, so the culture was very deeply embedded and resistant to change. I came in as a manager from up north, and these folks in West Virginia are very suspicious of outsiders because
sure.
they've had a bad history of outsiders.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while, but we began to come together. We began to talk together. We began to work together. Before long, our injury rates were down 98%. Productivity was up 45%. Emissions were down 88%. Earnings were up 300%. There were a lot of good things happening because the people were doing things that they knew how to do and they wanted to do. People want to be winners.
Yeah, they do.
And we can help that to happen. I can't make you be a winner, but we can sure set the conditions where if you want to, we can help you thrive. And a lot of that is just opening up the flow of information, walking around, talking with people, doing it in a way that's respectful, building trust, sitting down having a cup of coffee in a control room or a shop or with a janitor or with the clerical people, it doesn't matter. But being where they are, talking together, listening together, helping people see why it's important that they do their job well because it's important for the success of the whole place. And you just keep at it. It's not one off. You've got to keep at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I used to walk. I kept track of myself. I used to walk the plant 5 hours a day. I did that for over 5 years. And it's in these continuous conversations together that we begin to get to know each other, to trust each other, to help each other, know how to argue together without killing each other.
Yeah, it's important.
Yep.
Yeah, it's very important.
So I have a passion for leadership, and I know that the kind of things I'm talking about really, truly do work.
Yeah.
And not only in manufacturing, I also did some work with the mayor of Niagara Falls and her leadership team.
Hmm.
We laid out a whole program about how can this be the best possible leadership team for our city. So we had these kind of a conversation. We kept track of everything we said. We put it up on the wall. And over the course of the 4 years, they became much more effective. The city workers were doing much better work than they had before. They were providing better services to the community. They cut $16 million out of a $62 million budget. And services improved. It's a matter of people talking together, listening, and helping each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree. And I'm going to jump in and say, I like what you were talking about earlier. You were talking about collaborating, talking with, not talking to, because when you're talked to, it's almost like a dictatorship. I can see how people would trust you and they would want to learn from you because sometimes people just don't understand how to get along. I mean, we have different personality types out there. Some people are quiet. Some people are more, rambunctious or whatever. So I like how you talk about collaboration. I would love to hear a real good success story you've had because I'm sure you've had many of them. Could you share a good success story for our listeners?
Well, sure. This work applies not just to safety, but and to other things that we've been talking about. One of the big projects we had at our plant was to shift our process control systems from pneumatic to electronic. Now, traditionally, when you change computer systems, people want to run parallel for a while until the new system is really working, and then they took the old system down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a conservative way to run. When it came time for us to begin looking at that, we decided we were not going to run two parallel processes. We were going to take the old system down and start the new one. And there was going to be no going back. And we met together every week in the control room talking about the project, all of us standing up, the operators running the process as it was.
Mm-hmm.
When it came time to make the changeouts, the mechanics had already worked with the engineers to decide where to put instruments. They had done the checking to be sure that the electrical loops were all connected properly. The operators had designed the graphics on the computers and learned to run the computers. And when the time came, we tore everything apart, did a lot of maintenance work in addition to changing all the electrical systems, put it back together and came up much more quickly than we'd ever done before, making better quality product and running at a higher rate, which was really pretty doggone neat. We saved a couple of million dollars in the project.
Wow, that's impressive.
And we cut the time to do it in half. And then we did 15 more of those kind of projects around the plant. And we never ran parallel and we never failed. And the people were just felt so good about that. And the plant was running so much better. So it's when you get the people together to work on something that's important and they really can become engaged and know they are. This is not just play acting. This is really being engaged. Mm-hmm. Things change. The leader has a very important role. We change from being the dictator, which I used to being a person who can sit and talk with them and draw out the thinking, but also set the direction, say, hey, this is where we're going to go. We got to do this kind of stuff together. And I have to do it in a way that makes sense to them, and they can see that they're part of it. Stephen Covey told a story about a man who owned his small business, and he took one of his workers from the floor out for a little drive, and they stopped and they were looking at this beautiful farm, nice white fence around it and the pond. And the manager said to his worker, you know, if you work hard for 10 years, that will be all mine. And, you know, we can't do it that way. We've got to be engaged together so we all have a stake in it and we're all trying to get better. So at this plant in West Virginia, where I came in, and the expectation from the people there was that I was going to shut it down. They are still running quite successfully now, 25 years later, because people came together and we became quite profitable instead of losing money and having a lot of people being hurt. So it's that kind of, when we work with the people, mm-hmm. talk with the people, like you pointed out, that's a very good observation. It sounds simple, but it's a fundamental shift. And then be with the people. And begin to try to share some of their experiences, but also let them know where we're going. Let them know we have standards we got to meet. We got to turn out high quality products. We got to do it well. We can't hurt the neighbors by letting the stuff out of the pipes. So there's very high standards we have to meet. But if they understand that and know that that's why we're doing it, then they come along. Mm-hmm. So you can make these kind of shifts. And it's a wonderful experience to watch not only myself grow, but to see everybody else growing as well. We all had to learn how to work a little differently as we learned through this. But it really does work. It sounds very simple. Go talk with your people. Sometimes when Claire and I go into an organization, the biggest challenge is to get the supervisors to actually talk with the people rather than at them.
Oh, I understand. I understand that one.
They say, I don't understand. You know, I don't know how to talk to them. I said, if you go out to a bar tonight and have a beer together, you're going to talk fine. Let's do that at work. It's, you know, you shift the context. They can do that. They're just sometimes not used to it. And sometimes you can have bullying and those things going on. And if the manager or the leader is not out in the organization, they will not see that. And the place will begin to come apart. And they won't even know what's happening until the place is in a terrible mess. Mm-hmm. They've got to engage with the people. They have to be part of the system. Not pretend to stand out the side of the system and say, do this, do that. But more be in the system and say, here's where we got to go. Help me get there. I don't know how to do it myself. I need your help. And people come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And times have changed. I mean, you know, my mother, who's in her late 70s, you know, at that time era, you know, employees would stay with a company for 35 years. My father worked for Florida Power and Light 35 years. My mother worked for many, many years for the same company. But today, you don't hear about that. People are so displeased. They don't trust the employer, or the employer doesn't trust the employee. So there's so many job changes and such. Why is that going on? What's your opinion on that?
Well, I think traditionally our management model has been something that we've grown up in. As little kids, we figured out whether mom or dad ran the place. When we got to school, we discovered the teacher ran it. When we got into trouble, we discovered there was a principal, and the principal ran it. So all the way growing up, there was somebody bigger and smarter that telling us what to do. And that's the management model that we've all learned to live in. But that kind of a management model drives a whole lot of dysfunctional behavior because people are intelligent for the most part. They want to do well. And when they're treated badly, they don't like it. And so we get all kind of screwy behavior going on in organizations. Mm-hmm. If we can go out there and engage with it and help people see, you know, there's a choice. We can do things differently if you want. That's quite an eye-opener for a lot of places because that the dominant model that is being used really all over the world is this top-down command and control model. And probably that was okay 100 years ago when the level of education among people was lower. That's not acceptable today.
Sure isn't.
You can't really get the best and achieve the best, all of you. And that just is a big shift. So I think that's part of it. And part of it is we just got guys like me used to grow up in this kind of stuff, and it was fun to push people around until I discovered that was really stupid. But that took a while for me to get out of that mode. I was good at pushing people around. Mm-hmm. And that's, I didn't feel good about it, neither did they. So we began to learn to do it differently. Part of it is walking around, sitting down, talking together, talking with each other. How do we make this place better? What's going on out here? What am I missing? What are you missing? And we begin to explore these. Go back to the beach ball model. You know, I'm on a red stripe, you're on a green stripe. We got to talk. When that happens, everything changes. Now, one of the things that I discovered as a plant manager was in this plant where it was quite dysfunctional early on, we had a small fire, well, modest fire. And our fire brigade was highly trained, and they put it out. And the people worked like beavers, and in about 3 weeks, we gotten back up where we could be in production. And it was amazing. People put down all the dysfunctional baloney. Joe wasn't playing with overtime procedures, and Bill wasn't being obnoxious all the time. They were pulling together until the crisis passed, and then everybody went back and behaved badly, which really puzzled me.
Yeah, I bet.
Mm-hmm. And about 6 months later, I was talking to the operators and mechanics and having coffee in the control room in that operation. They were talking quite nostalgically about the fire. You know, it was really great. You know, we could make decisions when we needed to. We knew what was going on. People weren't behaving badly. And finally, I got so antsy, I said to them, look, fellas, we can't burn the place down every 6 months to feel good. We got to figure this out, which we did. And that's what I'm sharing with you, some of the things that we've figured out over the years about how do we really do our best together and bring out the best together and accomplish the things that we know we can accomplish and have fun at it.
Oh, yeah, I'm all about fun. You know, and I just recently interviewed a coach. He's also a minister, and he talked about empathy in the workplace. And I'm a big believer of that because I've worked in human resources for 27 years, is that, you know, we all experience hardships in our life. Maybe somebody's died. Maybe a spouse has cancer. And, you know, somebody needs to take the Family Medical Leave Act, or they need to take time off and stuff like that. And supervisors get angry because they realize it causes a hardship on their end. But it's so important that, you know, that leadership and human resources is part of leadership, is that they are understanding to the employees' needs. And then there's that trust and there's that bond. And, you know, I believe that people work harder and better for people that they respect and trust. What's your thoughts?
I think I agree entirely with you. It's important that we do understand everybody's carrying burdens. We need to look out for each other and help each other. And one of the problems in the workplace is if we've got harassment, if we've got rudeness, if we have bullying, those problems are driven back inside of us. And people don't do as well when they're struggling with that. Sometimes people begin even to develop a feeling that they've been treated so badly that at some point they pick up a gun and come in and shoot the boss. Mm-hmm. These things are all tied together, and it begins with rudeness and disrespect. It goes on to harassment. Then it goes on to bullying. And if the managers and the leaders are not engaging with the people, they don't see that. One of the best ways to deal with bullies is to shine a light on the bad behavior. For example, we had a smoking stand, a three-sided little shed with a bench, and people could smoke outside. One day there were three or four women having a smoke. One of the big supervisors, who was a bully, walked past them and made some really terrible sexist comments about them, which they didn't care for. And I heard about it, so I called him in and I said, "You know, what are you doing?" "Oh, I was just kidding them." "Oh, okay. What would you do if someone talked to your wife like that?" He said, "I'd beat them up." I said, "You know, those are somebody's wives and daughters. You ever think about that?"
Good point.
That was a new idea for him. And I said, "Look, I'm giving you a choice. I'm either going to fire you or you're going to go around and talk to the other groups on the planet about what you did and how that's unacceptable." And boy, did we get better faster than anything on that one. People realized they were going to have to stand up and be held accountable in public. The behavior got a whole lot better really, really quickly.
I bet. And that's thanks to you holding people accountable, because I believe we can all be nice, we can all be polite to each other, be civil, be respectful. But when people are in the wrong, they make sexist remarks or discrimination or sexual harassment, we need to hold them accountable.
Absolutely. But you've got to know that it's going on. And one of the things that bullies are good at is projecting to the boss an image of how great and good they are and how awful they are to the people reporting to them. Or the others, they're very good at covering up. And if management's sitting in our office and not actually engaging with the people, they never see that. They're never aware of it. They don't know what's going on. And so it's just so important to be engaged with the people and to be talking, letting people know that that's not acceptable. And when you find out there's a problem, you smoke it out and go after it. Claire calls about it smoking out the elephants.
I like that one.
And, you know, the elephants, there are many groups that have an elephant in the room and nobody's talking about it, but it's screwing up everything. It's like a big lump under the carpet that's rotting away, but nobody wants to talk about it. And that just destroys the ability of the organization to move. So you get to learn to talk together. Much of this is the leader's responsibility to create the conditions where it's okay for people to talk about it and not punish people, not shoot the messenger and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree even more. I mean, because if a leader, CEO, doesn't have some kind of an open door policy, you know, I mean, it might not be all the time because they have to get work done too, but they should have it at least certain times where people can come in and talk to them and there's no retaliation of any kind, because people have to know that they have that they can have accountability, that they can speak of what's going on, and they have to know that the manager, the leader, the CEO is going to listen to them and at least check it out. And if there is a problem, hold accountability.
That's right. And help them to see that if they're living up to the kind of standards and agreements that we've made, they have a great deal of freedom because they can make decisions about their own work. They don't have to keep running up the line asking for permission. They can make decisions close to the work, which they have to do in order to get it done. Yeah. You probably have been through training programs. You get done the training program, then you go out to do the work, and it's not like you learned in the program at all. And you got to figure it out.
Yeah.
But people need to have the ability to be able to figure it out. And as people begin to learn that they can work with a great deal of freedom, we get very, very much more effective. For example, in the chemical business, when the media calls up, the tradition is that public affairs at a very high level jumps into the fray and talks to the reporter. I had been able to develop a good deal of independence on the public affairs front when I was the manager in West Virginia, and we were doing a lot of stuff without having to have corporate there all the time. We had gone to teams on the plant. Everybody had to be in their work team, but people could be on site-wide teams. So this one lady that I knew pretty well, an operator, shift worker, was on the environmental teams. And one morning she called me up. She was very upset because as she'd come in to start her 6 a.m. shift, these two guys on the talk show on the radio were talking about all the pollution from our plant. Mm. Well, that night it was clear. The moon was shining. Our steam plumes were glistening. They thought it was dirty chemicals. Becky knew, because she was on the committees, that it was not anything but water. It was just steam. And so then she went on to say, so I've called them up, and they're coming to the plant on Monday for 3 hours. I want you to talk about this and this and this in the first hour, and I'll take care of the other two. Now the public affairs is upside down with an operator running the show and the manager doing what she told him. And it was one of the very best visits we ever had because Becky was able to know the boundaries. She stepped forward because it was a safe space. Mm-hmm. And she could do these kind of things. And it was a great experience. We all felt really good about it. My public affairs people almost had a stroke. And I told them, you better stay out of it. You know, Becky will do fine.
Oh, goodness. I know you have many success stories, but we've got to wrap up. And I thank you for the work that you're doing and also your wife, you know, getting together, working together. And safety is so important. I mean, my own stepbrother works in plants, and he's like the QM, quality management, safety, and he's won a lot of awards. I know how important it is. And people want to go to work. They want to feel safe. They want to trust the people they work with. So what you're doing is very important. And I hope you're able to get out there and touch more people. So in wrapping up, how could people get a hold of you? What's the best contact information for you, Dr. Knowles?
Well, there's several ways to do it. One is to go to LinkedIn. I've got a page on LinkedIn, Richard N. Knowles, you know, all the LinkedIn jazz everybody knows about. You can go to my website, safetyexcellenceforbusiness.com, or you can pick up the phone and call me, 716-622-6467. I'd be delighted to talk with people and see what we can do and share together and work on both the physical and the psychological sides of the safety, because they're connected and they're important. And we can make the business a whole lot better as well as the people a whole lot better, so everybody can be a winner.
Absolutely. And I want to thank you for being on the show, sharing some success, great advice, and just helping to empower people. It's so important today. So thank you so much, Dr. Knowles. And I wish you a wonderful day.
Thank you very much, Dawn, and for having me on your show. I hope you have a great day as well.
Yes. And to our go ahead.
Great months ahead and good mother and good for your mom as well.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And to our listeners, always know that there's advice and solutions out there. Stay empowered.
Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.